She sounds surprised, and that shouldn't be surprising.
Why?
I shrug a little, all casual. You know by now that I had a past. That was one of the most painful parts, and talking about it wasn't high on my agenda. I turn a smile onto her when she tightens her grip around mine. When the doctor told us there were two heartbeats in that tummy of yours, I went into shock. She chuckles lightly, the sound so sweet and pure, her hand lowering to her stomach and circling. I never anticipated twins, and when I found out we were having them, I was catapulted back to a time I always kept buried. Now her smile is sad, as is mine. So I decide to rid us of the downhearted atmosphere because ultimately it was a wonderful moment, once I got past the shock. The doctor told us he could hear two perfect heartbeats. Just like that, two. It came from left field. I laugh a little, remembering with perfect clarity the weightlessness of my body in that moment, because there was a heartbeat to be heard, and that was a relief beyond no other after the accident. But there was also a sense of utter confusion that came with it. My brain must have malfunctioned, because all I remember thinking was, "My baby has two hearts?" I think I actually said it too. Ava bursts out laughing. The sound and her clear amusement has me laughing too. This is what it's all about. The good stuff, the happy memories. I keep questioning my decision to hold back in the crappy shit, but when I see her like this, so joyful and spirited, that questioning is masked by the sight of her looking so contented. "You thought it was rather amusing at the time, too." I flash her a devilish smirk. "You savage. So that was when you told me about your brother?" I nod, pulling into the car park of the hospital. It seemed like the right moment. We had a bath, you lay on me forever, and I shared the story of me and Jacob. I flip her a wink. Then we came together in the tub. Seems like a damn fine way to finish off an emotionally stressful day. Ha, she has no idea. When I'm lost in you, there's no room in my mind for anything else. You're the best kind of relief, Ava. Always have been. Always will be. I zip into a parking space and turn off the engine, turning to face her. "As long as you always remember that, you and I will be just fine." She doesn't protest my claim, doesn't even flash me a displeased look. Instead, she crawls across the car and puts herself on my lap. Her dark eyes are shining, true contentment reflecting back at me, pushing her forehead to mine. She sighs into my face as my palms hold her waist. "I will always remember that," she vows, and I wince, hoping she didn't misinterpret my statement. "I wasn't suggesting you should give up all of your memories just if you remember that." "I know you weren't." Her hands lay over my cheeks, her gaze sinking into mine. "But you're right. I may have to accept that I've found all the memories I'm going to find, and you have to too, Jesse." Her words are soft, pacifying, and the fact that she's right strikes me painfully. That's the reality of it. I've got the most important things. You, and the twins, and my life. I glance away, a pain so intense bolting through me, making me flinch. "Ava, don't." "But I'm right." She forces my face back to hers. "I've thought about nothing, but I know this is where I'm supposed to be. With you and those two gorgeous kids. The love I have inside me is fierce, and it tells me above all things that I'm home. I can sacrifice a few memories for the sake of that feeling. You need to be with me on this. Continue to tell me the things that matter, but don't beat yourself up when it doesn't trigger anything. You'll kill yourself off with stress. I need you now more than ever." Fuck. I have a wobbly lip. How can she be so together? I absorb her every word, but there are a few in her statement that resonate deeply. continue to tell me the things that matter. I will. My voice is thick with emotion, and my head is thick with a nasty mixture of shame and determination. It may seem cowardly, but I ignore the former and kiss her deeply, taking the relief I find in our intimacies. We'll be late. I nibble the corner of her mouth and break away, opening the car door. Let's go meet our baby. The happy gleam in her eyes pulls me back from the brink of some confessions. It's my job to protect her, and that is exactly what I'm doing. She's turning the pages of a magazine at an epic rate, telling me they're not being read, just skimmed. It's something to keep her occupied while we wait to be called. Something to busy her fidgety hands. The moment we sat down, any semblance of her calmness fled. It's got me all nervous. I place a hand on a magazine blocking the next page turn. She looks up at me. What's up? I ask. She tosses the magazine on the table in front of us, closes her eyes and starts to breathe in long, carefully controlled breaths. Ava, baby, what's the matter? Look around, Jesse. She practically whispers, making a quick scope of the waiting room herself. All these couples. We're one of six couples here. You'd think, given the condition of these women, they'd give them something a little more comfortable than these plastic chairs to sit on. With that thought, I collect Ava from the hard chair beside me and put her on my far comfier lap. I don't follow, I admit, ignoring the interested looks of the other men in the waiting room. They should take a leaf out of my book. Their wife's asses must be numb. Mine's not far from it. They're all so young. Well, ouch. She may as well have just kicked me in the gut. I glance around, noting she's not far off the mark. With the realization comes another bout of doubt. Doubt. It's a bastard thing. Can worm its way into the most confident of men and eat him alive from the inside out. Well, I won't let it. My chest swells and my chin rises, and I glare at all the 20 and 30-something fathers-to-be, unable to stop myself. I might be 50, but I'm more man than any of them. They might be younger, baby, but we have experience. I nod decisively. You do, perhaps. Her counter is quiet, unsure, and I realize my error in a heartbeat. Fuck. Shut the fuck up, Ward. I can't remember a thing. My face softens. Stop that now, I order harshly, hating the sound of this sudden doubt in her too. When Kate went into labor, you knew just what to do. Like everything, it's all still inside you. I reach for her nose and circle the end with the tip of my finger. Pack it in. Softening on my lap, she nods, grabbing all of my reassurance with everything she has. I give myself a swift mental slap, telling myself to never let her see my uncertainty again. It's full steam ahead. Ava Ward? We both look across the doctor's waiting room to see a white-coated lady with wild purple hair and a few too many piercings in her ears. Her look is harsh, though her smile is friendly. Up you get. I put Ava on her feet, patting down my pocket when my phone rings. It's the school. I doubt there is a parent in the land whose heart doesn't miss a beat or 10 when they take a call from their kid's school. Mine just missed 100. I connect the call, working hard to keep my voice stable and my stress level out of heart attack territory. Hello? Mr. Ward, it's Mrs. Chilton. Is everything okay, the kids? Everything is fine, Mr. Ward. No need to worry. Those words are fucking golden, and I nod to Ava's worried face, silently telling her not to stress. I'm aware of the sonographer waiting for us and hold up a finger in indication that I'll be just a moment. Then why the call? Maddie seems to have developed a bit of a headache. I still, staring down the line, my eyes narrowing to suspicious slits. Ava cocks her head in question, so I quickly cover the mouthpiece of my phone to enlighten her. Maddie has a headache. But she was fine this morning. Yes, she was. She was also rather put out that she couldn't come to the scan. I raised my eyebrows, telling my lovely wife to catch up. Oh, the little minx. She's got that right. Mrs. Chilton, can you put her on the line? Of course. One second. There's a few crackles down the line, and while I wait for my fraudulent baby to prep herself to speak to her father, I give Ava a little nod. You go. I'll be there in 2 seconds when I've sorted out our girl. Ava shakes her head, dismayed, but with a fond smile as she disappears into the room.
Hello?
Maddie says, sounding like she's swallowed acid in a pile of rusty nails. My girl needs to remember there's not much that gets past me.
Hey, baby,
I coo.
Hey, daddy.
Daddy? Oh, she's working it better than any Oscar winner I've known. I move to the side of the room, leaning a shoulder against the wall. What's up, baby girl? I play along with her, smiling as I do. Tell daddy.
My tummy aches.
My eyebrows jump up. That's funny. Mrs. Chilton said you have a headache.
Both?
She croaks. And having a headache and an achy tummy makes your voice poorly too, does it? Silence. Well? I have a sore throat too, she snaps indignantly, each word perfectly clear. My, you are in a pickle. Pushing my shoulder off the wall, I make my way to the room where Ava's waiting for me. Listen here, madam, ever heard of the boy who cried wolf? No. Google it. Don't think I don't know your game, missy. I have to go. Your mother's waiting for me. I want to see the new baby, she whines down the line, fake crying after. It's not fair. I'll get pictures, I assure her. I promise. Really, I'm just grateful both of them have accepted this news with no major drama. Except, of course, fake illnesses. Baby girl, there's really not much to see at the moment. It's a peanut. You can come to the 20-week scan, okay?
Really?
The delight in her voice pinches my heart.
You promise?
Smiling as I take the handle of the door, I give her what she wants. Promise. I push my way into the room, finding Ava already on the bed with her T-shirt pulled up around her bra. Now get back to class, you little scoundrel. I hang up after she's sung her goodbye and join Ava, standing by the side of the bed. Sorry about that. No problem, Mr. Ward. We were just getting set up. The purple-haired sonographer presses a few buttons and squeezes lashings of gel on Ava's abdomen. Are we ready? Good question, I think, as I stare at the blank monitor, feeling Ava squeeze my hand. I smile, returning her gesture. Ready, I say, as a loud, swooshing noise fills the room. Ava's head drops to the side to see the screen, my spare hand joining the one holding hers. For a long, long while, the sonographer works in silence, moving the scanner around Ava's stomach while flicking dials and pressing buttons, her attention centered on the screen. I don't remember it taking this long before. Is there something wrong? Anxiety grows within me, silly thoughts running rampant in my mind. What if the test has been wrong? Could there have been a mistake? What will she do if we're told there is, in fact, no baby in there? She'll be distraught. This pregnancy has given a new hope. I can't see that snatched away from her. Fear of the cruelest kind slithers through my veins as I glance from the screen to the sonographer to Ava over and over. There. There's a few clicks of buttons and the motions of the scanner pause on Ava's lower stomach. My muscles relax a little, and Ava's grip tightens around my hand. The sonographer points at the screen, smiling, or is she frowning? It's hard to tell from a profile. What? What is it? My body goes rigid. Please, God, tell me everything is okay.
Is the baby okay?
I hear Ava ask through my fog of panic. Yes, the baby is fine. She looks at us, half smiling, half shocked. and so are the other two. Someone must have just poked me with high voltage because I fly back, getting my feet all tangled in the legs of a nearby chair. I throw my hands out as the wall gets closer, only just saving myself from nutting the damn thing.
What?
I barely push the word out through my crippling alarm. The other two? What does she mean, the other two? Two plus one? Three? The one-word question is jagged and broken.
Three?
Yes, Mr. Ward. Three perfect heartbeats.
What the fuck?
I feel dizzy. I need to sit down, but I miss the seat of the chair, landing on the floor with a thud that seems to wake me from my nightmare. I quickly scramble up. I'd have to grab the wall to steady myself, my legs like jelly.
Three?
My baby has three hearts, Ava asks, and I look up at her on the bed, finding a dirty smirk on her cheerful face. My brain is clearly on the lag because all I'm thinking is that's the stupidest fucking question that has ever been asked. My wide eyes jump from my wife to the stenographer, their faces a picture of amusement.
What? What's so damn well funny?
I fade off as realization begins to dawn on me, and my face screws up in disgust. They got me. They're fucking playing with me. If I weren't so relieved, I'd be fuming fucking mad. My jaw tight, I feel my round eyes slowly shrink until they're angry slits.
That is the unfunniest joke that's ever been played!
I find it in myself to release the wall I'm still clinging to, all but stomping my way to the bed while Ava cackles like the demented witch that she is.
Fucking cruel,
I add, crowding her vibrating body on the bed and smashing my mouth to hers. That soon shuts her up. Yes, I'm mad, but I'm so fucking relieved too. More relieved than mad. Pulling away, I scowl down at her chirpy face. The satisfaction staring back at me diminishes my slight so much so. I soon find myself smiling back.
Think you're funny, do you, Mrs. Ward?
She nods, the remnants of her amusement still evident in random, short, sharp chuckles as she works to calm her jerky body down. I couldn't resist, she titters, as she looks at her accomplice. Thank you. Yeah, thanks. I fire a playful, filthy look across the bed to the rogue sonographer. Where do you make a complaint around here? Her face drops, and Ava whacks my arm. Don't be mean. She was just doing what I told her.
Mr. Ward, I'm sorry if...
I hold up a hand to stop her words and her panic. Don't sweat it. My wife has a wicked sense of humor. I poke Ava in the soft, sensitive spot in her hip, making her jolt off the bed with a girly squeal.
You'll pay for that, lady.
I know. Her simple reply makes me smile as she clenches my hand. But now you feel a whole lot better about only having one, don't you? I can't deny it, I really do, and I beat myself up for a few moments for making her resort to such tactics in an attempt to make me feel better about this unexpected pregnancy. I would have gotten used to the idea of another three, I say, all blasé. I'm lying through my teeth, shuddering at the mere thought. Another three? There is really just one in there, isn't there? I ask the purple-haired joker opposite me.
Just one, Mr. Ward.
She goes back to the screen. I'm sorry, but when your wife mentioned your first scan with your twins, it did make me laugh. Smiling at the white blip, she starts rolling the ball in the machinery, clicking here and there. Baby, singular, looks perfectly healthy. You're 6 weeks into gestation, Mrs. Ward. Can you tell the sex yet? I ask, knowing full well it's way too early.
At the 20-week scan, maybe, depending on baby's position.
The printer to the side kicks in, spitting out pictures of my baby. You don't know what to do you? Ava asks, a bit disappointed.
Why?
Because if it's a girl, I need as much time as possible to prepare, buy armor for her and for me. Jessie, she whacks my arm in an exasperated gasp, and I chuckle, swooping in and crowding her. I grin, she scowls. I never told you this morning how beautiful you look today. I never told you how handsome you look today. I shrug. A god among men. I kiss her delicately. And now I'm taking you home and giving you the King of Retribution, Fox. Her eyes widen, glancing to the side, where the sonographer is collecting the pictures from the printer, doing a terrible job of playing ignorant to our light banter. She's smiling fondly. Wherever, whenever, baby. I help wipe up her tummy and get her to her feet, collecting the pictures from Miss Purplehair before guiding Ava to the door. I hope you're ready. Maybe later. Huh? My steps stutter behind her. What does she mean, maybe later? I don't need to ask. She looks over her shoulder, a definite knowing smirk forming. I'm going to yoga and then having coffee with Zara. I don't think so. It's out before I can stop it. My declaration hostile. My ego put out. She rolls her eyes and continues on her way toward the exit. It's condescending as hell, and it only serves to rile me further. You're not going to yoga! I need to rein myself in before she slaps me silly. I should know by now that demanding she not do something just makes her all the more determined to do it, if only to prove a point, whatever that is. We've just shared a lovely moment. I planned on taking her home and delivering on that retribution fuck, and then picking the kids up from school together. She's ruining all of my plans. And on top of that, she's now pregnant, even more fragile, even more delicate. Yoga is a stupid idea. Besides, I'm not letting her out of my fucking sight. No way, Ava! Piss off, Jessie! She pushes through the doors into the sunshine, leaving me a heaving, bristling pile of mail standing like an idiot in the hospital entrance. You're not going! I yell, earning startled looks from many passers-by. I growl at each of them and turn before stalking out, muttering and cursing under my breath. Ava! I'm not arguing with you, she calls over her shoulder, so you may as well quit. I'm going. End of. End of. That's my line, I bark childishly, catching her and blocking her path to the passenger door. I push my back up against the car and she stares at me tiredly. I don't think yoga is a good idea in your condition. I've checked with the doctor. It's actually a very good idea. Damn, okay then. I don't think you should be out and about on your own. I won't be alone. I'll be with Zara. My lips straighten. She could be with anyone, but she won't be with me. I'll come too. I'll watch your session, and you keep saying you want me to meet this new friend of yours anyway. No. She tries to reach for the handle of the door, but I cover it with both hands. Jessie, stop being so fucking unreasonable. Watch your fucking mouth. Don't make me give you the countdown, woman. It's not beyond me. And what will you do to me in the middle of the hospital car park? She laughs, thinking she has the upper hand. She doesn't. You tried me once before in this very car park, I inform her. I did it then, and I'll do it now. Do what? She asks, folding her arms over her lovely boobs. I push my face close to hers and smile on the inside at her grit. She doesn't budge one inch, squaring up to me. I'll throw you over my shoulder. Slap that gorgeous ass of yours, thrust my fingers into your warm pussy, and work you up until you explode in mid-air in front of all these lovely people. I give her a forced, satisfied smile, and she gives me a huge gasp. Wait, has she remembered? You wouldn't dare. She hasn't. Her gasp is shock, not recollection. It doesn't beat me down. I'm not beyond reminding her. I fucking would, and I fucking did. Are you daring me? I want her to. I want her to double dare me, triple dare me. I'm going to meet Zara. Her little nostrils flare dangerously. You can't keep me nailed to your side forever.
Wrong.
I almost laugh. I thought we were past this silly power game.
You're coming home with me, and that retribution fuck just got changed to an apology fuck.
So there.
Another gasp.
You're an ape!
I scratch my armpits in some kind of pathetic confirmation. Old news, lady.
Ah!
She turns and stomps off. She doesn't get very far. Swooping her up onto my shoulder carefully, I take her back to the car, slipping my hand beyond the hem of her skirt and up the inside of her thigh.
Jessie!
What, dear? My fingers glide past the seam of her knickers and plunge easily into her. She's drenched. Even boiling mad with me, she's sodden. I smirk, satisfied. Nothing's really changed. She goes floppy on my shoulder, her moan broken, like she's trying to hold it back, trying to hide how turned on she is. It only fuels my fire. Don't fight me, Ava. I stop by the car, pulling the door open. You're wasting valuable energy. Keeping my fingers submerged in her warmth, I negotiate her down into the passenger seat, kneeling by the car as I do. Relax, baby. I walk on my knees closer to her and withdraw my fingers slowly, watching her chest expand and her eyes widen. And then I drive them back in, putting weight behind me, achieving maximum depth. She may be mentally pushing me away, but her sweet pussy has other ideas, greedily dragging me deeper, the muscles of her passage massaging my fingers easily. You like that, baby? You don't play fair, Ward. Do you like that? I retreat and surge forward, my own sounds of pleasure filling the car and mixing with hers. Tell me. Her head falls back, eyes infused with need. I sacrifice my need for a verbal answer when she places a hand over mine between her thighs and starts working with me to bring it to climax. Her back arches against the seat and she stiffens, her clit beginning to throb under the pad of my thumb. She goes quietly, but boy does she go. Trembling in the aftermath of her orgasm, her lids becoming heavy. I'm so enthralled by the sight, I forget what brought us to this moment until she speaks. I'm still going to yoga, she breathes, going limp in the seat. I laugh a little under my breath, pulling my fingers free of her clenched thighs and taking my time licking her sweet juices from them while she watches. You're not going. Her lips twist, her eyes becoming mischievous. Then I'm quickly swallowing when she strokes over my jeans, stirring my raging cock further. She smiles when I solidify from top to toe, inhaling. Later, I'm going to smother my boobs in peanut butter, and you're going to lick it all off. I'm dropping you off and picking you up. I all but squeak, resting my hand over hers before my dick bashes its way through my jeans. How'd she know that's her ace card? I don't know, but I'm not arguing. I can kill time at the club. I really should show my face there anyway. Her face beams, satisfied as she drops me. Hurry up, then. You made me late. Pulling her skirt down, she ushers me back so she can shut the door. It feels like I've just been played, like she has learned again that to get what she wants, she has to catch me at my weakest moments, like bribing me with peanut butter in her boobs. My plan just backfired, and when she fails to hold her grin back as I round the car, my eyes burning through the windscreen, I know for sure I have definitely been played. Yet that tiny shred of reason within me tells me to let it go. She's right. As much as I want to feel like I need to, I can't have her nailed to me for all eternity. She has to rebuild other parts of her life. I'm just going to have to get used to the nervous breakdowns while she does that.
Chapter 51 Ava. When Jesse pulls up at the curb, he releases my belt, turning to get me in his sights. Be careful, he warns, and I'll pick you up at this exact spot in a couple of hours. Okay. I barely contain my eye roll as I lean over and peck his cheek. See you later. I slam the door and jog across the road.
Don't run,
he yells as I turn to face him from the other side of the road.
Might shake up the baby.
I laugh. The man is a nutcase. I spot Zara up the street near Elsie's and wave as I make my way over. She takes me in a big hug. Is your husband waiting for you? I pull out of her embrace and look over my shoulder, seeing Jesse still idling at the curb. He's probably checking I get in the building without injuring myself, I joke, returning my attention to Zara when he eventually pulls away. He worries about me, and now he'll be worrying even more.
Why?
We just came from the hospital. I take the scan picture from my purse and hold it out, and her blue eyes fall to it. I don't get the reaction I was expecting, her eyes taking on a sad edge. My proud smile falls. Zara? Oh, shit. She looks up at me a bit vacant.
I'm sorry.
She shakes herself to life.
What's up?
I quickly get rid of the picture, concerned.
I'm being silly, it's just I can't have children myself.
Oh my God, I kick myself hard, moving in to give her a hug. I'm so sorry.
It's not your fault. It's not mine either, in fact. Just a rare genetic thing that they can't really explain.
She embraces my offer of comfort and returns my squeeze.
My ex blamed me, hence his handy fists.
I wince.
What an asshole.
Pulling away, I push a wet strand off her cheek, and she smiles sadly. You're happier without him, right?
Of course. My job's going great, and there's talk of a promotion already. Things really couldn't be going better.
That's fab.
Hey, as a matter of fact, I have a date later.
She tells me, an excited sparkle in her eyes. I need a dress. Fancy a quick trip to the shops after yoga to help me choose?
Sure.
I don't hesitate. She needs me. I'll call Jesse and let him know. He'll be fine.
Congratulations on the baby, Ava.
Zara nudges my shoulder, flipping me a genuine smile.
You're clearly so happy.
On Central Jesse Cloud 9. I say without thought, frowning as I do.
Sounds like an amazing place to be.
You have no idea.
Chapter 52 For a Tuesday afternoon, the club is heaving. I wander through the reception area, nodding to people as I go. They all seem surprised to see me. Or are they wondering where Ava is? I'm just heading upstairs when Sam calls. Hey, I answer. Sleeping pills. Where can I get them? He sounds urgent. I smile, hearing the exhaustion in his voice. Do I look like the local dealer? John spots me halfway up the stairs, surprise on his face too, before pulling an about turn and flanking me on my way up. I point to the phone and mouth, Sam. Making John grin a shit-eating grin. Knocking yourself out isn't a good idea when there's a baby around. Fucking hell, I've never been so tired. I'm walking dead, and Kate's turned into a demon woman. I remember those days not too fondly, though we had two to deal with. I don't point that out. Sam wouldn't appreciate it. Instead, I do something any decent mate would do. After all, a bit of practice and refreshing my skills would probably do me well. Plus, Ava will relish in it, I'm sure. Hey, how do you think Kate would feel about letting us have Betty for the night so you two can catch up on some sleep? Oh, mate, you'd do that. He sounds perkier, just like that, just with the promise of some downtime. She'd be fine. Hadn't you ought to ask her first? I ask, remembering that first time we left the twins to have a date night. Ava was fine, mind you. It was me who was fretting. I reach the top of the stairs with John breaking onto the gym floor. I point to Ava's office and he nods, holding a finger up to indicate he'll be there in a tick. Trust me, she'll be fine, Sam assures me, and if she isn't, then I'll come and stay with you. I laugh, pushing my way into Ava's office. I find Cherry sitting in Ava's chair and my laughter fades. She looks all wrong. There's only one woman who belongs in that chair. Speak to Kate and get back to me. We'll be there at 7 pronto, he counters, hanging up.
Oh, hi.
Cherry beams at me, looking past my shoulder.
No Ava?
No Ava, I confirm, heading for my wife's desk. I scan the surface, noting many things out of place. The pen pot is on the wrong side, the mouse mat is different, and the in-and-out trays are all askew. Perfectly neat, but still askew. Ava didn't have them like that, pushed neatly into the back corner. Not that my wife will know that. Can I get you a drink? Cherry gets up, tapping a pile on papers on the edge of the desk to tidy up. A water, thanks. I drop into the now vacant chair and scan the room while Cherry makes her quiet exit. It feels empty, lacking life. I rest back and wedge my elbow into the arm, drumming my fingers on my cheek. Thoughtful, and I smile. A new baby. What are you grinning at? John asks, stalking toward the desk. It occurs to me in this moment that one of my oldest friends is in the dark over the past few days' revelations. I'm going to be a dad. I sound stable, and I'm proud of myself for it. You're already a dad, you stupid motherfucker. He drops into the chair opposite me. I thought Ava was the one who lost a memory. Had anyone else said that, I would have beat them black and blue, but this is John. He'd beat me black and blue. Again, I add. I'm going to be a dad again. The white of his eyes expand. What? Ava's pregnant. I see the laughter bubble up from his toes and wait for it to work its way to his mouth and shake the whole damn club. But it doesn't laugh. Somehow, he contains it, though I see his amusement plain as day. Was it planned? I chuck a pen across the desk at him. Stupid fucking question, John. What sane 50-year-old bloke would volunteer for that, for fuck's sake? His shoulders jump up casually. I would have, had the opportunity passed me by. That shuts me up, but it makes me shrink. I've never asked John about his past, and he's never volunteered it. Something inside me, maybe caution, just warned me not to. I've often wondered if he wanted children if he found the right woman, and he's just answered that. I shouldn't be surprised. He's great with the twins, always has been, like an adopted pap in a way. Was there ever a Mrs. John? I ask him. He smiles his big white-toothed smile with his signature hint of gold. What's taken you so long to ask, boy? I inwardly laugh. Maybe the hostile vibes I get any time I've ever even thought to pry? There was one woman once upon a time. He shrugs, like it's nothing. It most certainly isn't nothing. I lean forward in my chair, intrigued. Really? Who? He eyes me for a few moments, clearly wondering whether he should spill. Doesn't matter. It's dead. History. Clearly he's decided against it. I sigh, mentally plotting my advances. How can I coax the information from him? Before I knew you? His glare is deadly. Drop it. What if I don't? Face the consequences. Which are what? Rein it in, you relentless motherfucker, he warns, the threat in his tone no joke, but something tells me that he really wants to share. Yet I do as I'm told, even if my mind is spinning, rewinding through the years, all the way back to when my uncle took me under his wing. John was there then, my uncle's best friend. In fact, he's always just been there. I hum to myself, racking my brain. I know her. That's why he's being cagey and reluctant. I flick through all the women who used to frequent the manor on a regular basis as we stare at each other for what seems like years, his eyes dark, mine curious. And then he draws breath to speak. Falling in love with your best mate's girl isn't ideal. His eyes don't move from mine. His best mate's girl. Uncle Carmichael was his best. Realization slams into me like a giant wrecking ball to my gut. Sarah, I blurt, my heart taking the second shock of the day, except this one is no sick prank. He nods his confirmation. Fuck me. Sarah. How has he kept that hidden all this time? John, I don't know what to say. He watched it all, close by. Sarah, me, and Uncle Carmichael, the wretched love triangle, and all the tragedy that went with it, and the years that followed, Sarah constantly pining for me, going to epic lengths to try to win me. How did he do that? Face it, endure it. Say nothing and move on, he warns, obviously watching my mind go into overdrive. All this time he's been in love with Sarah, and I never knew, never saw it. How can you love someone who's so destructive? I ask, baffled. He looks at me like I'm stupid. Ask your wife. I wilt where I sit, going over and over the years, searching for any clues that I missed. Now I realize there were millions. His calmness with her. His occasional attempts to defend her actions, his anger when she lost the plot all those times. He wasn't entirely mad with her for what she was doing to me, but what she was doing to herself, too. You can't help someone who doesn't want to be helped, he says, strangely reminiscent. You wanted to be helped. Shit, John, I breathe, throwing my hands up a little. Then something comes to me. She's staying with him. Has been for weeks. Why would you set yourself up like that? And what the hell does Elsie think? Wait. What does Sarah think? Does she know how you feel? How I felt. And no, she didn't. And doesn't. Neither did your uncle. You think I wanted to add to the fuck-up that was you, her, and him. And I stopped loving her when she stopped loving herself. And the reason she's staying with me is because she can do me less damage than she can do you. You'll keep this to yourself. John's tone is as threatening can be as he gets up from his seat. It's history. Of course. He doesn't need to tell me twice. What about Sarah? How long is she staying with you? Until she's back in her feet. The man is a saint in disguise. And what about Elsie? She has some holistic therapy shit she wants to try on Sarah. He looks back, rolling his eyes. Who knows? Might straighten her out. The door closes behind him, and I sit there alone in the silent room for a long time, trying to get to grips with this news. The truth is, I can't. No matter how long I try to wrap my mind around it. So many years to be assessed. Too many occasions in history to be analyzed to find what I'm looking for. I won't find anything. John did too good a job of hiding his feelings from Sarah and the rest of the world. He's put himself at the bottom of the pile every time. It isn't right. Pulling out my phone, I find the number I blocked. Unblock it and dial. and the moment I hear her voice, my skin prickles and I'm out of my chair pacing the office. You need to leave town, Sarah, I say, bluntly.
Jessie?
Yes, you need to leave. There's a pause and then a sigh.
How's Ava?
I didn't call you to chit-chat about my wife. I called you to tell you to leave town. I can't go anywhere, Jessie. I'm broke. My feet drag to a stop as I recall John telling me the same thing. She has nowhere to go, nowhere to stay. So she's putting on John, and John will never say no. Send me your account details, I order. I'll transfer some money and then you leave. Do you hear me? John's waited decades to meet a woman. Now he's met one, and I'm not having this poisonous bitch ruining what could be his happy ever after. Do you hear me? I hear you, she whispers, her lack of argument maddening, because she's that selfish. She doesn't care about John or me. She cares about herself. I'll do it now. Send me your details. I hang up, and in the two paces it takes me to get back to Ava's desk to log on to my banking, her details land on my phone. I laugh, a disbelieving laugh. She didn't waste time. A few clicks sends a clean $100,000 her way. We didn't talk numbers, but I want her to have enough to ensure she'll never have to come back. Resting back in my chair, I stare at the screen as I kiss goodbye to the best money I've ever spent. My phone buzzes in the desk, and I glance down to see two missed calls from Ava. Heart in my throat, I go to dial her back, but notice a voicemail alert. I click the icon and bring my mobile to my ear to listen to her message. I've tried calling you twice and you're ignoring me, she says. I'm still with Zara. I've had a lovely time. We popped to a store next door and bought her a new dress for a date she has tonight. We couldn't find shoes, but I have the perfect pair. So we're going to go pick up the kids and head back. She's driving, so don't panic. I'll meet you at home. My knee-jerk reaction is to call her back and put her straight on a few things. But somehow, I stop myself. I breathe in and relax back in my chair, closing my eyes. She's checked in. She's fine, and she's picking up the kids. I should let her do that. I must let her do that. She needs to do that. I'm just forcing myself to put my phone away when someone walks in. Cherry with my water. Took her long enough. She smiles, all bright and willing, as she paces toward me. A definite, deliberate sway to her hips. And if I'm not mistaken, she's undone an extra button on her shirt since she left to fetch my water. My suspicious eyes follow her all the way to the foot of Ava's desk, where she perches her ass on the side, crossing one leg over the other. Anything else? She practically purrs. I sigh. Time to put her in her place. Cherry, I begin. She smiles brighter, her eyes dropping down my torso. Let me explain something to you. Mm-hmm, she hums, starting to nibble her bottom lip. If my wife catches you looking at me like that, you'll be choking in your high heels. My words seem to have zero impact, her eyes crawling up my front until she's gazing at me. And what about if you catch me looking at you like this? I'm staggered by her boldness. I just did. And? I lean forward, resting my elbows on the desk. Her eyes sparkle more at my closeness. And I think you're brave, I answer lowly. You're also stupid. She shrugs. No one gets what they want by being reserved. You're fired. Her eyes widen. What? I said you're fired. I smile, a blazing smile, one that would knock her to her ass if she wasn't already there from shock. You can't fire me, she spits indignantly. I laugh, sitting back in my chair. You just disrespected my wife, who also happens to be your boss. You think I'd forgo her for you? I chuckle, the sound wicked. Let me give you a bit of advice to take on your way. She slips down from the desk, rejection making her cheeks red, but not with anger, more embarrassment. What? If you wanted to learn how to be sexy and seductive, you should have spent more time admiring my wife rather than me. Goodbye. Outrage. It splashed all over her face.
But you owned the manor.
I look at her like she's stupid because she fucking is. Leave. I all but growl before I flip my lid. Wisely, she takes note of my anger, quickly stomping to the door. Her parting gift is a filthy glare tossed over her shoulder before she slams the door with brute force. Stupid woman. My phone rings again, and I quickly snatch it up and answer as I stand and head for the door. Hey, baby. I'm expecting high praise for leaving her to do her girly stuff and not calling her back.
What the hell are you playing at, Ward?
I stop halfway across the office, racking my brain for what I could have done. I resort to asking since I'm fucking clueless. What did I do?
You didn't call me back. All I keep getting is your voicemail.
She's wild, frantic, and I grin the biggest grin. Oh, baby, are you worried about me? Welcome to my world, lady.
A bit,
she sniffs down the line. I can't help the deep satisfaction. My phone must have dropped its service, I tell her, carrying on my way. I'm thinking it's probably not wise to tell her that I was on the phone to Sarah.
Where are you?
At the club. I hear her bristling at the mention of me being here alone without her. I put her mind at rest. I just fired Cherry.
What? Why?
Oh, my God, did she make a pass at you, the sneaky little bitch? Well, you know, your husband is a god among men. I can't blame her.
You're intolerable.
And I love you, too. Where are you? At home now. I've just seen Zara out, and the kids are on the trampoline. I'm on my way. I hang up and jog to my car, feeling like it's been years instead of hours since I've seen him. Chapter 53. Pulling up the driveway, I hear the kids before I see them. Their shouts of delight reaching me from the garden, the springs of the trampoline going loopy. I rush to the house in search of Ava so I can soak up some of that praise she owes me. I find her sitting at the island in the kitchen staring down at something. My approaching steps don't distract her, her focus engrossed. I realize what's holding her rapt attention. The picture of our new baby. Her fingertip is tracing the edges of the paper. Her eyes look a little dreamy. I hate to disturb her. Boo, I whisper in her ear. And her palm slaps on her chest as she startles. She turns on a stool and glares at me, fisting the front of my t-shirt and yanking me forward.
Next time I call you, ring me back, Ward.
Fuck, you're sexy when you're mad. Her scowl turns into an impish grin. Then kiss me. What do you say, baby? There's no hesitation. Please. I pounce, lifting her from the stool to the island and utterly ravishing her bones. God, is there anywhere I'd rather be? Nope. Just glue my mouth to hers and let us be done with it. She is like the finest of wines, and I am an expert in that wine. Spread your legs. They open and I move in, our mouths wild in each other. This is what happens when we're apart too long. Starvation. I can't get enough of her. Jesse, she pants. Her voice full of warning, though her relentless tongue doesn't let up. The kids. I'm about to say fuck 'em, getting a bit carried away with myself, but instead, and very reluctantly, I pry myself from her lips before I take it a step further and push her back down onto the island. Have you shown them the picture? No, of course not. I wanted to wait for you. Over dinner or now? Truth be told, I want to do it now. I'm excited. Now. I grin, knowing she read that in my eyes as I help her down. Did you find the shoes for your friend? Yes, a perfect match for the dress. She hung on for as long as she could to meet you, but she was going to be late for her date if she waited any longer. Another time. I try not to sound too casual. I know how much this new friend means to her. I need to at least pretend I care. Maybe when I drop you to yoga. She'll love you. And you her. Of course you will. I'm the fucking lord of the manor. Flipping her a cheeky wink, I find my stride and take us out to the garden. The creak of the trampoline with each jump grows louder as we walk, my smile growing with it. Until it comes into view, and I see my boy and girl springing up and down, laughing. And there's another person. Who's that? I ask, my eyes set on the woman. Her dark hair flapping in the air and around her face. Oh, Ava sounds surprised, but not concerned. That's Sarah. She was coming out to say bye to the kids. I thought she'd left already. I smile at the woman's back. She's a bit overdressed for playtime on a trampoline. She's got some energy. Why is she wearing a new dress? Ava asks. Confusion now creeping into her tone. I look at the black lace number, something uneasy settling over me, a weight on my shoulders that I can't shake. My feet slow as we approach, along with my heart. And then it stops completely when the woman turns toward us. It's a moment in time when I think I know what I'm seeing, but it's so far beyond my comprehension it takes my brain a moment to catch up. But the second I see her deep-set blue eyes, there's no doubt. They look as troubled as I remember, and as she stares at me, they fill with hatred. Oh, fuck. She's changed her hair color. The blonde is gone, replaced with a harsh shade of mahogany that doesn't suit her complexion at all. She's always been pale, but now she looks bloodless, heartless, emotionless. Lauren. Shock and fear has paralyzed me. Why didn't I know she'd been released from the institution? We should have fucking been told. I need to get my kids off that trampoline, away from her and her murderous, fucked up clutches, yet I can't fucking move. What a surprise. She walks toward the netting around the edges of the trampoline, poking her fingers through the holes to hold on. A little breathless, but her words are as clear as day. Nice to see you, Jesse. Lauren? Ava asks, confused. This is Zara. You know each other. She drops her hold of me and takes a few steps back. I dare not take my gaze from the woman who nearly sent me to the grave twice. My babies are a few feet away from her. Their bounces not slowing, too. Their instinct telling them that something isn't right. Fucking hell, how did this happen? Ava's new friend, the one she's been doing yoga with all these weeks, having coffee and going on shopping trips with, is my murderous ex-wife. I swallow, my body starting to shake. It's a result of a bit of anger, but mostly it's fucking fear. I need to play it cool, not give the kids anything to worry about. Fucking impossible when faced with this woman. I know what lengths she'll go to in order to ruin me. Lauren casts her eyes over to Ava, a salacious smirk on her lips. Oh, you mean of all the things he's reminded you of, he forgot to mention me? Her cold eyes fall back onto my motionless form. My veins freeze. Oh, Jesse. You have a habit of leaving your ex-wife off your list of priorities. And your dead daughter. Ava gasps, and I force myself to face her. She's brought her hands to her head, her face twisting in agony, and then she screams, and I realize what's happening. She's remembering. Ava, baby, I go to her, catching her as she falls to her knees. No, she sobs. No, no, no. She starts yanking at her hair,